verse, and I don't know, it may not mean anything to anybody. I was real troubled in my heart here, oh, I don't know, last week or two. And I realized it was fear. I was afraid of a situation, and I was afraid what could happen and what would happen and how little control I had over it. And I was just fearful in my heart. And I guess the old psalmist knew what that feeling was. In Psalms 55 and 22, he said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." That's a pretty powerful verse when you're troubled in your heart. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter says, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. Aren't you glad we've got one that cares about us today? Glad we've got one who cares. John chapter 12, if everybody's been obedient this morning. I really struggle when I preach a known truth, when I preach a familiar truth. We know that the Word of God, many of y'all know that the Word of God teaches salvation for all men. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm going to preach on this little thought, if the Lord will help me. And I don't know, I may do more Sunday school teaching than I do anything, but I know this is what the Lord wants, and so I'd rather be obedient and appear to be a failure than to be disobedient and look successful. Moses struck the rock in disobedience. It looked like obedience, Brother Steve, but in the eyes of God, it was disobedience. And so I want to be obedient, don't you?
Amen.
Do you want to obey the Lord, what He wants you to do and what He wants out of your life? Do you want to be obedient or do you want to be disobedient? Fact of the matter is, you're probably smart enough to be disobedient and make it look like you're being obedient. Make it look like you've have the blessings of God upon your life. But the fact of the matter is, you may not. Looks are deceiving many times. If you would, pray with me and for me. If the Lord doesn't help me, we'll just struggle this morning. But perhaps He'll intervene and make the truths of His Word come alive to us again. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You this morning just trying to obey You, Lord. That's all. Nothing more. Nothing less. Father, I just want You to be pleased. If I look like a total failure to those who are looking on, I want You to be pleased, Father. Honored and uplifted, magnified. Forgive me, Father, my sins, my shortcomings. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, Father, would You please cleanse me of it and make me a fit vessel that You can use for a little while. Lord, open the listener's heart and do with the truths that I'm the sole familiar truths I'm going to remind us of again. Father, would You just make them come alive to those listening. I love You, Lord. I sure do need You. You know how pitiful I am. Please enable me and strengthen me and help me. And I'll give You the glory and the honor, the praise for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. For several messages, I preached out of John 12 and 31, as well as Matthew 26 and 1. And I said this as when I started, I'm afraid we've lost our focus of Calvary. I'm afraid of that. I'm comfortable I'm comfortable that God wants us to focus, never lose sight of what Jesus did on Calvary. I say that because He gave us an ordinance. Gave us an ordinance to remind us of Calvary. This is my blood of the New Testament, and is the bread is broken. That's my body is broken for you. I believe memory serves me correct how the Scripture says that. One verse out of three deals with the last week of Jesus' life. And so we know in the Gospels I'm talking about. So we know in the Gospels there's an emphasis on His death. And so I believe, and we might could mention other things, but I'm convinced as I am standing here this morning that we do not make enough of Calvary. I just believe that. And we talked about how at Calvary I preached a message on the fact that our Passover lamb was slain for our salvation there on Calvary. And then I preached on the judgment of this world. Really, Calvary was a courtroom. If you really, really want to get down to it, just a courtroom. And we talked about that. And then I preached on the prince of this world being cast out. But I want to come down to verse 32 and 33 and just share with you just some things I feel comfortable many of you already know, but I want to reaffirm them this morning. Verse 32 and 33, the Bible says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. Now, if we had verse number 32, we might could debate on what was trying. If we had just verse 32, we might debate on what that means, if I be lifted up. But He comes down in verse 33, and He lets us know He's talking about His death. Now, there is some truths we need to lay hold to. First, Matthew chapter 10. Let me give you just a little bit of background, and then we'll go from there. Matthew chapter 10. If you would turn in your Bibles, I want you to read with me in just a couple of three places. And I want to say this initially, the Jew was superior to the Gentile. We were just, I know many of you have heard it, we were just Gentile dogs. The Jews looked down even on the Samaritans who were half Jewish and half Gentiles. And so, if you look in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Here's what the Lord told the disciples: don't go to the Gentiles, go to the Jew. And of course we know the kingdom promise was to the Jew, and I understand that. But the fact of the matter was, Judaism, the law of Moses, the religion of that day was to the Jew, and it left the Gentile out. And I understand there were some proselytes, and I've got a little bit of a grasp of that. But I'm simply saying to you that we were left out. That it was to the Jew initially. In Romans chapter 3, if you would turn there with me. The Bible says this: "What advantage then hath the Jew?" You and I might have wanted to answer that by saying, really none. Gentiles and Jews are the same. But that's not what the Bible says. "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? The Bible says much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And so they had the advantage, the fathers and the covenants, and even Jesus Himself come through the Jewish race. But as I look at this text, the Bible says this in John 12. Jesus said this, "And if I be lifted up, will draw the Jewish men unto me." No, that's not what it says. The Bible says, because of Calvary, I will draw all men unto me. It seems to me what the text is saying to us is that the Spirit of Christ's influence on mankind will be broadened at Calvary. I think we can say that. I think about while He was on earth, what kind of following did He have? I really don't know. I know in John 6, many turned and walked with Him no more because of His hard sayings. That's still true today for the man of God. If he preaches hard sayings, there'll be many turn and walk with Him no more. But Jesus wasn't interested in the crowd. He was interested in the truth. And I've thought about His influence while He was here on earth. How many? There's a verse, 1 Corinthians 15:6, says this, "After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." I've wondered if that wasn't just about the group that was true to Jesus, about 500 people. I don't know. I don't know if He made Himself known to every one of His disciples after He was rose again from the dead or appeared to every one of them. But I just wonder if He didn't just maybe affect about 500 lives. That three or four year ministry that He had. And so I started thinking about that and the scope of His ministry. He was Israel, in Judea and Galilee, and just operated within the realm of Palestine there or the nation of Israel. He did not make missionary journeys like the Apostle Paul did, although he did travel within his country, but he did not travel to Rome or to Spain or Galatia or some of these places. And I've thought about the limitations of the scope of His ministry. He only helped those that were living while He lived. As far as His earthly ministry goes, those that were fed, they were living. He didn't help those in the past. I'm talking about as far as His earthly ministry goes. But we come to this text and we see that at Calvary, and I don't know if I can make this real to you like the Lord did to me, but we see because of Calvary, He can draw all men. Brother Allen, it's no more restricted to just the Jew. It's all men. I've just thought about this. Because of Calvary, the sphere of influence, of Jesus' influence, was broadened to include all men. Aren't you thankful for that, Brother Steve? Had there not been a Calvary, there wouldn't have been an all men. Oh my, aren't you glad for that? Can you think about a man who lived 33 years, 2,000 years ago, and because of what happened at Calvary, he can have influence on all men? Think about that. Just let that sink in with you. That's why he can have influence on us, because of Calvary. Here's what I just wrote down. I just sat down and wrote down some countries that I know of that he can have influence in. Because of Calvary, he can have influence with the Egyptians in Egypt. He can have influence with the Libyans in Libya, the Nigerians, the Ethiopians, the Sudanese in Sudan and the Ugandans in Uganda, South Africans and the Indonesians and those in Ghana and the Greeks and the Greenlanders and the Guatemalans and the Guyanians, the Peruvians and those in Uruguay and Paraguay, Ecuador and Brazil and all across this great land of ours. I'm telling you, he was operating in Palestine, but after Calvary, he drew all men unto him. Oh my, that excites me. I just started thinking I'm just going to write down all the countries I could, and I only got 40. I think there's 200 or 300 countries on the globe, but he can go to the Australians, Brother Allen. I mean, just think about it. He can just go down there and speak to an Australian because of Calvary. New Zealanders, the New Guineans, the Chinese, and those in India, the Indians, the Malaysians, the Koreans, and the Thais, the Nepali of Nepal, the Tibetans, the Bulgarians, Canadians, Nicaraguans, those in Panama and Chile and Paraguay, Cambodia, Vietnamese. You say, preacher, you're calling out all these countries and Jesus has never been there. Jesus never walked there. Jesus never performed a miracle there. I want to say to you, when we look at Calvary, we see one of the greatest things that ever happened. The influence of Jesus because of Calvary. The influence of Jesus expanded from the Jew and from Israel. It expanded out to get Europe and Asia and Africa and Australia, South America, North America, Greenland and the Arctic area. I'm saying to you, because of Calvary, He can draw all men unto Him. Amen. I just want you to see that, man, it's miraculous, Brother Steve, that a man that lived 2,000 years ago for such a little short time goes to a place called Calvary, carries out a work, and because of that work, he can touch the hearts of every man on the entire globe of the world. The entire scope of the world is affected because of Calvary. My, I just got that started boggling my mind when I started thinking about that. One man who lived a short life and had a 3-year ministry. I mean, that's nothing of a ministry as far as time goes, Brother Steve, but my, through that ministry and through his work at Calvary, he touches the whole world. I don't know how to make that any more real to you or to wake you up to it. And then I thought about this too. I thought about this too. All those countries that he can touch the hearts of men. Can I tell you, he died in the first century. I mean, he rubbed elbows with people for 33, 34 years. I know there's a little debate on that to some degree. And he helped those that he come in contact with. And when they came to Jesus, they received truth. Many times they received physical help. He helped them. But can I say, he can still help people. He died in the early part of the first century, but can I say he helped people in the last part of the first century? I want you to think about this. He helped people in the second century. And I could go through this list again and call out all them people, all these countries that was in the second century. Can I say Jesus could help them? Why? Because of Calvary. Oh my, do you not see how Calvary just mushroomed what Jesus could do for mankind? My, there he was. And then we go to the third century and he's been dead. Oh, I don't know, depending on where you had, just say 200 years. And he's still helping mankind. And we go to the fourth century. And here's a fellow been dead 300 years and he's still helping mankind. And we go to the 5th century and all these nations that I could mention to you, all those nations in every century since Jesus came on the scene and since Calvary, because of Calvary, He can go in any century at any time period. We can, and we can find Jesus drawing men and women to Him. My, that's so powerful to me. I mean, one event, Calvary, 6 hours. 6 hour event, if my mind serves me correctly. 6 hour event, and He can touch men in all the countries of the world and in every century. Here we are in the 21st century. And can I say, Jesus is still influencing men and women. Tommy Pilkey, I wished he was here this morning. I mean, for 6 hours, Brother Ronnie, in 33 A.D., and I know the time's not exact, 33 A.D., for 6 hours, Jesus went to Calvary. And what transpired there about a month ago influenced Tommy Pilkey back there. And he got saved, Brother Allen. It influenced him. You say it can't happen. A man lived that long ago and only all he did was 6 hours there on Calvary. I say to you, it can happen. It does happen. And it'll happen again if God tarries His coming. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Calvary, because of Calvary, Jesus not just helping some Jews, not just helping 500 disciples, not just feeding some hungry folk, a multitude of hungry folk, and maybe saving a demoniac of Gadara. He's not just doing that, but He's going to all countries of the world at any time period in the history of man. Because of Calvary, there's a drawing effect of the Savior. My, do you realize, if you just stop and think about that, it's because of Calvary that He was able to deal with your heart and your life and draw you to the Savior. My, we take Calvary so lightly. We just talk about it, but it's through Calvary that Jesus is able to draw. You remember when you were drawn? Can you remember when God dealt with your heart and began to stir you and move you and say, hey, you're a sinner on your way to hell. You need to be saved. And He showed you what a rotten, no good person you was, and you hated who you was, and you wanted to be different. You couldn't help yourself. You realized you was hopeless. But Jesus came along, and you heard the gospel, and you were drawn to Him, and He changed your life. Hey, that's because of Calvary this morning. Oh my. Here's what I'm saying. Calvary enlarged the influence or the ministry or whatever word you want to use. He enlarged it. Thought about it so much. He not only helped those of His day, but through Calvary, He helped every... He's able to help every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever lived after Him. And Him dead and gone, Brother Allen. All because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. And then I thought about this. Over there where it said He led captivity captive. We all, most of us, has heard preaching and teaching on that. And we believe that the saved, because the way hadn't been prepared, the saved went to the paradise side of the underworld. And they stayed there till Calvary. And after Calvary, He led captivity captive. And oh, here's what I'm saying to you. Not only did He affect those around Him because of Calvary and those in the future because of Calvary, but He was able to influence those in the past because of Calvary. You know why Abraham's in heaven today? Because of Calvary. And Isaac and Abel and Adam and Jacob and David, Moses. I just start thinking about all those great men. I start thinking about Hebrews 11. Brother Allen, Jephthah, and Samson. All those champions and the others, they were stoned and sawed asunder. They wandered about in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And the Bible goes on to say, of whom the world was not worthy. You know how they were helped? Jesus wasn't around physically, but can I tell you how He helped them? He helped them because of Calvary. Oh my, I want to say to you today, if your children saved, it'll be because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And dear sinner friend, if you're here today and lost, the only way you'll ever be saved is because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Oh, I'm saying to you today, we just take Calvary lightly, just 6 hours. I mean, that's all it was. But I'm telling you, that allowed Jesus to deal with all mankind. Oh, my. That stirs me when I think about that. I just start thinking where His ministry was. Then after Calvary, where it ended up. All men. Just a little handful of Jewish believers dealing there in the country of Israel and carrying out the work and did a good work. But my, after Calvary, He can draw all men unto Him. My, we need to... Let me just say this too. If this world, I don't think it will, but if this world were to go on for another 6,000 years, can I tell you, He'd still be drawing men and women to Him through Calvary. That's right. And so what I see, I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me, and I feel like maybe it's not much, but for some of y'all's knowledge, but it's what God gave me. Here's what I'm saying: Calvary enlarged the scope of Jesus' influence. My, there's a lot went on there that day. We wouldn't even have people saved today were it not for Calvary. We'd have no hope, and on we could go. Then you might say this, well, who can be saved? Preacher, you're saying he goes to this one, that one. Can I say, whosoever will can be saved. Whosoever will. I've got let me just read one of them, one of the most familiar scriptures in the Word of God. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Who can be saved, Brother Steve? Whosoever will, let him come. Drink the water of life. That's what the Bible says. Why? Why is that, church? How can that be? I mean, how is it? I know folks that say this. I don't know if I can be saved. Hey, if you will to be saved, you can be saved according to the Word of God. I've heard folks say, I just don't know. I don't know if God's dealing with me. Hey, I'm saying to you today, if there's a will in your heart, that's not of the flesh. There's none that seeketh after God. Hey, if you're wanting God, there's something from God moving you in that way. Amen. Well, here He is. There's power. We see, number one, we see the scope of Calvary. Scope of Jesus' influence enlarged at Calvary. Then I want us to look at the power of the cross upon sinners. It draws them to Him. And that tells us a lot. You could preach a lot of little truth out of that. That says sinners are not with Him. There has to be a drawing, a pulling. We see sinners are against Him. We see the love of God that He would even draw sinners. And I could preach on every one of those things, but I just started thinking about this. What is it we see? What is it we see that draws us to Calvary? What is it we see? I should say it this way. What is it we see at Calvary that the Holy Spirit could use to draw us to Jesus? Maybe that'd be a better way to say what I'm trying to say. What is it? Number one, we see a Savior who loves us unconditionally. When you look at Calvary, there was a Savior who loved you regardless of what you did and had done. Now here's how it is in the day we live in with many folks. We will love people if they'll do what we want them to do. Isn't that right? And I've even seen parents that love their children conditionally. If their children does a certain way, they show love and they manifest love. But if they don't, and I understand sometimes fellowship has to be broken because of sin. I understand that. But I've seen parents who, if children didn't do exactly like they said, their love was withdrawn, at least outwardly anyway. And my, but aren't you glad that when the Savior looked at us and saw all the sins, maybe all the hypocrisy, all the fakiness in our life, saw all the worldliness, all the carnality, with some of you saw all the drunkenness and all the drugs and maybe all the immorality of sexual immorality and maybe all the cursing that was in your life. And can I say this? He still loved you. Man, I see that at Calvary. That's what I see when I look at Calvary. I see one that loves me because He just loves me. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to work it out. I don't have to generate it. I don't have to do better so He'll accept me. He loved me just like I was. And I don't know about you, but that draws me to Him. Well, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Does it not? Do you not love people that love you? Do you not like to be around people that love that you think love you? Hey, do you not like to be around family that love you and they're good to you and they show you respect? I go down to my little mama and visit her and she's crippled on one side and she's dragging this leg and she'll say this to me, "Son, are you hungry?" And if I even let on like I'm a little bit hungry, she'll be in there and she's got these little equipment. She'll take an old potato and she'll stab it on this board she's got with pegs sticking up. And with that one little hand, she'll start peeling me a potato. And she'll peel four or five potatoes. And then she'll be over there trying to open them packages with one hand. And she's wanting to fix me lunch. And you know why, Brother Allen? Because she loves me. She loves me. And I don't go down, I don't treat her right. I just go down once every two months or whatever it is. But Bud, I can go down there and here she'll be, "Son, are you hungry?" And that's a mama's love. Can you imagine how Jesus loved us? Can you? It's got to be 10. It's got to be 1,000-fold more, Brother Steve. Here's that little mama doing that for me. My, I just think when you look at Calvary, and you see the just dying for the unjust. You see the love that Jesus has for us. He loves us. And my, if He loved us like that when we were sinners, think what He loves us now. We're His brother. He's our elder brother, Brother Allen. We're a son of God just like He is. I mean, think about that. When I look at Calvary and I see Him dying for folks who's worse than dogs, live worse than dogs, and cursed His name and belittled Him and tore away at Him. And even after He saved them, they had days and years of ungodly living. But He still loved them and He still died. When I see that, I'm drawn to Calvary. Draws me to it. I love to go down and see my mama. You know why? I don't go much, but I love to. Because she loves me. She loves me. She's so proud to see me. When I come, my, I'm just trying to say to you, when the sinner looks at Calvary and sees a loving Savior, well, I believe there's a drawing power there. There's a drawing power there. But I'll tell you what else I see there when the sinner looks at the cross and sees a remedy for an incurable disease. I'm talking about the sin disease. Then there's a draw there. Here's what happens to the sinner. One day he realizes he's a sinner. The Holy Spirit speaks to him. And he realizes he's a sinner. And I know it's dangerous to preach experiences. I believe this is close to what most sinners, they ever repent. I believe this is close to where they get to. They don't like. The Holy Spirit shows them who they are. And they don't like who they are. I'll never forget it, Brother Al. I realized I was a no good, Brother Steve, wretched, ungodly sinner. I realized they'd come in the house and they'd say to my daddy, "My, you've got some fine boys." And in my heart, I knew it wasn't fine, Brother Bud. I knew it wasn't. I knew I wasn't good. I knew that. I knew I was no good. I knew I was a sinner. So you got some fine boys. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like myself being like that. I hated being a sinner. I hated. I turned over leaf, new leaf after new leaf. I couldn't live it. I couldn't do it, Brother Steve. I couldn't do it. I couldn't live it. I had no hope. I realized I was going to hell. There wasn't anything I could do about it. But one day I saw the cure for my death, Brother Allen. I got a picture of Calvary. And here I was on the deathbed without hope, spiritually speaking. The wages of sin is death. Isn't that right? Here I am on my deathbed. No hope, can't help myself, but I see a cure. I see Calvary. I get just a little view of Calvary, and I realize there's hope for me. Wesley, I realize I'm a no good sinner on my way to hell, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I don't have to keep going down that road. Hey, there's a way out. There's been a way made. You say, "Preacher, where was it made at?" It's made it at Calvary, and I saw it, and I fled for refuge. Oh, there's what I did. I was drawn to Calvary for the cure. I was cured there at Calvary. Until sinners get sin sick, till they realize they're a sinner, not going to be no drawing. Boy, if the Holy Spirit ever wakes them up. Brother Bud, you remember your experience at the midnight hour? Yes, sir. Ungodliest place in the world, the Holy Spirit. I think what a Holy Spirit did to rescue you, Brother Bud. Came in that hell hole. Spoke to your heart. Oh my, some of the other stories that could be told. Where was you when the Savior came to you? Where was he? Many of you was good church-going people, but lost. But some of you was out in the deep, miry pits of sin. And the Savior came to you, showed you how sick you are, showed you your death-ridden disease. And you saw the cure, and you were drawn to Calvary. Drawn to Calvary. Oh my. We're drawn to Calvary because of the love. We're drawn to Calvary because of the cure. I want to say, too, what else I saw there at Calvary. Brother Steve, I saw eternal life. Man, that excited me to think about living forever. I don't know. I guess I was just a weird kid. I don't know. I can remember thinking, what's life all about as a kid? I mean, you look at all the stars and they say some of them's 100 million light years away. If light left that planet, it left it. We're looking at that light. It's 100 million years away. Now, I don't know. We say creation's only been here 6,000 years. I don't know how they reconcile that, Brother Allen. I did read something. I wasn't smart enough to know what it said, but a little article was trying to reconcile them two together. Now, I don't know what it said, but you think about a galaxy that's that big. And now here we are on a little old globe that's really just a molecule, an atom in the spectrum of the universe, Brother Bud. And then on that atom of the earth, there's just a little dot, and that was me. And what's life all about? What is it all about? Oh, man, I just thought, man, we're just here a little while, then we're gone. And of course, since then, I've learned we've been put here to glorify and obey and live for God. That's why we're here. You're here to serve God and obey. No other reason. You're not here to pile up money. You're not here to make great accomplishments in life, but you're here to glorify the Savior. But aren't you glad we talk about it? And I talk about it way too much, I guess, how brief life really is. I mean, just how brief. Old James said it's just like a vapor that appeareth. A vapor, just a puff of smoke. Just a puff of smoke comes up, you can watch it, and it sets there. then it starts dissipating, just a little bit, breaking down. And if you sit there and watch it about 3 or 4 minutes, Brother Steve, it's gone. I mean, it's just gone. And some of us, we're on the backside of life, really and truly. We're on the backside of life, and we look at it and it just seems like it's just yesterday. I was playing around the house there, and Mama's cooking for me and doing for us. It just seemed like yesterday. Just yesterday, I graduated high school. It just seemed like yesterday. I mean, it just seemed like yesterday, Karen and I got married, and here we are. Well, in just a few days, we'll be in our 60s, and life is slipping us by. But Steve, there's something that just comforts my soul when I think about that. And that is, I've got eternal life. Man, it's just a preparation place, Dre. He just put me here to get ready to live. Dad, my dad, you say it all the time, son, he just put you here to get ready to live. It's just passing through place for a little while. My, that's how it is. You know why? You know why I'm drawn to Calvary? There's eternal life there. I'm never going to die. You're looking at somebody that's going to be alive 10 million years from now. Well, Steve, I don't know what shape. I don't know exactly where. I don't know exactly how all that fits together. But 10 million years from now, I'm going to be kicking around somewhere. That's right. You say, why is that? Because of Calvary. Isn't that right? Our loved ones, it's outstripped us in this life. And sometimes, I don't know if y'all do, but do you ever just get a longing to see some of them that passed on ahead? You ever just start thinking about them sometime? I think about old J.B. Sisk and my dad and some other folks that wouldn't even mean anything to you all. I'd sure like to sit down and talk to them. Been gone a long time. Can I tell you, Steve, one of these days, on the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance, we'll gather up again. We'll talk again. Why is that? Because by their testimony, they have eternal life. And I have eternal life. And my, when I saw that at Calvary, when I saw eternal life, I was drawn to Calvary. Here's what I'm saying today. Calvary affects all men of all ages. There's not anywhere you can go and preach the gospel and be out of order with it. Isn't that something to think about? Brother Bud, you can go up to any man and tell him Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you'd be in order. I know there's a crowd that says some's predestined to go to heaven, some's predestined to go to hell. That's hogwash. That's junk. I'm just telling you, that's junk. It's not His will that any should perish. Said, if you're here today, it's not His will that you go to hell. 1 Timothy 2, I believe it is, 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's what I'm saying to you today. When we look at Calvary, we see it encompasses all men, all nations. Over in Revelations, it says they'll come marching in. They'll be out of every kindred, every tongue. Does it say race and nation? People, I believe it says, and every nation. There'll be every dialect will be represented there, Brother Bud. And that's something to think about. Why is that? Because at Calvary, He's able to draw all men unto Him. I want to ask you this morning, if you just bow your heads, that's just my little message that the Lord gave me this morning. Notice who you're drawn to. He said, drawn unto me. Not the church, not the preacher, not the ordinances, not good works, not water baptism, but drawn unto Him. Oh, I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you saved? Can you say, preacher, if I was to die today, I know I'd wake up in heaven. Oh my, let me say this, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. God spoke to your heart. Has He spoke to you? Has God dealt with you? Oh, you know what He said? I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, let me say to you, He may be drawing to you today. I don't know. I know at Calvary, I know that empowerment comes from Calvary. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel, to the message. I want to give you an opportunity, maybe more rightfully said, to respond to the Holy Ghost. All of you, I hope all of you know that Jesus shed His blood and gave His life on Calvary for your sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and 40 days later ascended to the Father. Mine, He's sitting at the right hand of God to save those who will come to Him. I wonder this morning, is there somebody might need to be saved? Brother Allen, y'all come on to the piano. Just, you don't even have to wait for me to ask. Just come on this morning. Just, I'll tell you what, Sister King, just play quietly. Be good. Brother Allen, that'll be sufficient for the evening. I wonder this evening, this morning, has God spoke to your heart? Has God been dealing with you? Seemed like for the last 3 months I've just had a burden. Just had a burden to see sinners saved. Not had that in a long time. For the longest time I was just preaching to the saints. Sinner, why don't you run up the white flag or surrender? Why don't you just say, I'm gonna throw in the towel. I'm gonna turn my life over to the Lord. Would you come this morning? Sister King's playing, God's people are praying. Would you just come?